Senator from the 24th moves the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 2 to Senate Substitute Number 2 for Senate Joint Resolution 45. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from Clay, for what purpose do you rise?
To inquire and also to obtain a copy of the amendment. I'd like to inquire the senator from the 24th.
Does the senator from the 24th yield?
I do.
She does. Proceed.
Senator, that amendment was read, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Let me tell you exactly about it.
Yeah, if you can tell me what you're doing, I'd appreciate
page
it.
Page 1, line 13.
Okay.
We take out post-secondary and put in elementary and secondary. So it reads, the lines 12, spectrum, from early childhood through the completion of elementary and secondary education. That's the supervision of instruction portion of this board's activity.
Okay, so the board, let's see, right now our constitution would read, the supervision of instruction in the public schools shall be vested in a state board of education. And now the senator from CAPE changed the composition of the board, right?
Well, yeah, that's on another page. That's that's not in this language.
Okay, he didn't change the next sentence, the board shall consist of the number of members.
That's where he started there.
That's where
I think
he started changing. Okay. So
yeah, he did right start
now,
at line 14.
Christian instruction in public schools shall be vested in a state board of education. Okay. Then what you're doing is, okay, I'm sorry, just trying to catch up here so I know what we're doing. Striking the word post-secondary, elementary and secondary. So it would then read the supervision of instruction in the public schools and public education in the state across the age spectrum from early childhood through the completion of elementary and secondary education shall be vested in a state board of education. So the way that the Senator from Buchanan's language currently reads, the board would supervise instruction in the public schools all the way, well, I guess post-secondary could be everything up to a doctoral degree.
Right.
Anything.
Right.
Okay. And this board up to this point has done what? Up to this point,
This has just been the supervision of instruction in the public schools shall be vested in the state board of education. This is about the language that's being amended here is the language that's been in the Constitution regarding elementary and secondary education.
So right now, the way that, with the current language, the way that it is, where it says the supervision and instruction of public schools shall be vested in a state board of education, right now, what do they look at?
Elementary and secondary.
They look at only elementary and secondary,
right,
which is considered K through 12.
K through 12, right. Right. And in this, you know, the changes that we were making for this Department of Education, I just know from being very close to post-secondary education that if we say that this board is going to supervise their instruction, that's a huge red flag to post-secondary education. We have much more activity, you know, about the instruction of elementary and secondary education. You know, we have the MAP tests and all
right,
that kind of thing. But when you start telling a multitude of universities how they're going to instruct, is a whole different.
So
different. That's a different issue.
Right. Let's see, so you're talking about elementary and secondary through the completion of elementary and secondary education.
Right.
By striking the word post-secondary, so it would say through the completion of elementary and secondary education. Okay. Senator, I am working on a very hacked up amendment to your amendment.
What is?
Because I might be able to offer this as an amendment, but I want to make sure that I can, where that we go back to where we started, which is we're dealing with kindergarten through elementary and secondary education traditionally in this state has been known as K-12, right? I would support your amendment, K-12, but I wanted to say K-12.
Well, this effort we're talking about, sort of what we has become called the P-20, where you're doing preschool, you know.
But the problem is that right now we've got a whole lot of preschools that are private, and public school has preschool. And this
this is only about public schools. Look at on the first two words of line 11 are public schools. I don't think you have to worry, because this is about public schools. Yeah, we're not getting into private schools. They're still private schools. They have all the...
Would there be any kind of construing that somehow or the other the Constitution would thus be requiring our public schools that they must now have preschool, and if so, starting from what age?
No.
Well, but we
already have public schools that have preschool.
I know.
And so that's...
But would we be mandating...
No, none at all. No. It's just you got to include what you have. And there are some districts that have preschool. And so, you know, we don't want to leave that out in those areas that have preschool. But this is all about public education.
One of the things, and I tend to agree with you on there, because I've got another amendment to make it clear that we're dealing with public education that deals with something else in here. But I don't want us to have something in our Constitution mentioning early childhood that would thus say, well, if the Constitution wouldn't mention early childhood if our schools weren't under a duty to provide early childhood. And I totally agree with you that it ought to be elementary and secondary under the traditional meaning of that, which is K-12. And in some instances, kindergarten hasn't even been, and some schools have full day, some schools have half day kindergarten. But I'd rather leave it under the traditional definition.
But some of our schools do have preschool.
I know. And they could still do that.
But, you know, I think that needs to be, I think it's a legitimate thing that we haven't amended the Constitution, obviously, since some of our schools do have preschool. So we need to make clear that if that's what they do, it's here, it's included.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing in here that requires any public school to have a preschool, and there's nothing in here that requires any non-public school of any age level to do anything.
Yeah, because I think there's studies that show that up to about fourth grade, our public schools do a pretty decent job educating our children, but then from fourth grade forward, our public schools are pretty abysmally failing compared to most of our other schools.
You can find studies that say anything, so...
Yeah, but the problem of it is that I'm concerned about this whole putting early childhood in the Constitution, because it looks like to me that the more Missouri children are exposed to Missouri public education, the worse off they are. And so...
Well, I would strongly disagree with that.
And I know you probably would.
If they're doing well through fourth grade, it may be... I might be able to quote some research that says that those schools that actually start with preschool are doing the best.
Well, we've got.
I might be able to find that. I think there's a good chance with all the Head Start research that's been done over the years. That I know that's not a public school, but I think that you could probably get very good research that shows that school districts that offer preschool do a better job of anybody. So, Senator, I think this language is only about public schools, and it only touches on the reality and covers every public school and what they do if they do it. I mean, again, preschool is not a requirement, but if they're doing it and it's public school, then this is just inclusive in here.
Well, and we have excellent public schools in the state of Missouri. We have excellent faith-based schools. We have excellent homeschoolers. We've got a lot of really good educational opportunities for the young people in the state of Missouri. What I don't like is whenever you start making a reference to something in our Constitution, I think it is a reasonable assumption that we are supposed to provide that in the state of Missouri. And there's, right now, our schools are not required to provide early childhood education. And I suppose what I need to do is make an inquiry of the chair to see if I should be asking for the Senate to stand at ease for a moment while we can sort this out, or if I can actually go ahead and let your amendment go on and still offer an amendment to yours.
Okay. Okay.
Mr. President.
Senator from Clay.
I'd seek unanimous consent for the Senate to stand at ease while we sort this conundrum out.
Seeing no objection, the Senate will stand at ease.
Please.
The Senate is back in session.
Mr. President,
chair would like to remind folks that photography is not permitted. Photography is not permitted in the Senate chamber.
Mr. President.
Senator from Clay.
Now, given the fact that flash photography is not allowed in the Senate chamber, I would like to inquire of the senator from Cole.
The senator from Cole, does he yield?
I yield.
Senator, do you have guests?
Well, I do. Thank you very much.
Would you like to introduce them?
Senator from Clay.
It's been an active day in the Missouri Senate for me, Mr. President. I have a substitute amendment.
Senator. The Senate is now back in session. Senator from Clay.
Mr. President, I have a substitute amendment. It's short. I'd ask that it be read.
Send the amendment forward, please. Madam Secretary, please read the substitute amendment.
Senate Substitute Amendment 1 for Senate Amendment 2, offered by Senator Ridgway, to amend Senate Substitute 2 for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 45, page 1, section 2A, line 11, by striking the words, quote, across the age, close quote, and inserting in lieu thereof the following, quote, for elementary and secondary education, close quote. And further amend line 12 by striking all of said line from the resolution. And further amend line 13 by striking the following, quote, post-secondary education, close quote. And further amend page 3 of said resolution, lines 13 through 18, by striking all of said lines. And further amend said resolution by renumbering the remaining subsections accordingly.
Senator from Clay.
I move for the adoption of the amendment. Mr. President, what this does is gets us to concentrate on exactly what the Senator from the 24th had talked about, which is elementary and secondary education, as that phrase has been traditionally defined. Frankly, we don't have any more money in the state of Missouri to expand any more than where we've gone or extend the authority over what we already have. This narrows it to public elementary and secondary education. And unless there are any questions, I renew my motion.
The senator from Clay moves the adoption of the substitute amendment to Senate Amendment Number 2 for Senate Substitute Number 2 to Senate Joint Resolution Number 45. Senator from the 15th, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire, Senator from Clay.
Senator from Clay, yield?
I do.
She does. Right. Proceed.
All right. I want to understand what you're doing here. You're taking out early childhood education. Is that what you're doing?
Basically, yeah. Senator, you and I have spent more words on the floor of the Missouri Senate today than I think we have.
Well, I figured you were talking to me about
were
fighting against cracking down on fraud. Maybe I ought to talk
about
this.
No, I'm for anti-fraud. I'm good with anti-fraud. I just don't want us to perpetrate a fraud on the people of the state of Missouri by putting something in the Constitution that we can't afford to pay for, nor do we really intend to do here. the body's got to decide where the public sphere is going to be encompassed with regard to our educational policy. Is it going to be from the time that a child is born that the public education system has rule and reign over that child? Or is it going to start when they're in kindergarten or first grade? What is the Board of Education? I mean,
I take it by your amendment.
Early childhood education starts from the point of birth, I suppose.
Well, but I guess what I'm confused about is you don't see a role for early childhood education in the state of Missouri?
If the parent decides so, absolutely.
But I don't think there's anything
But
there's nothing in this bill requiring somebody to send it, their child to a preschool, nor is there anything in the bill requiring a school to have a preschool, right?
Senator, think about this. If we put something in the Constitution and a parent in Stoddard County that has a school that has smaller population and not much money, and the parent comes in and says, it is in the Constitution about early childhood education. My school is not living up to its constitutional duty to provide my child with early childhood education.
I think I hear a black helicopter swirling a little bit on this.
You know
one.
What? I saw one outside my office the other day.
I think that's a lot to imply,
Senator,
from having talking about a continuum of education that currently exists in our state.
Why?
Because there's nothing in this constitutional amendment that requires a school to have a preschool, nor is there
so
any requirement for someone to send their child to preschool.
Exactly, so
it
take
merely
it out.
Recognizes that if we're going to have policy and we want to do right by the citizens of our state, we ought to probably incorporate early childhood education.
Okay, so let me take off on what you just said. If we're going to have a policy, then it should include this, okay? What if this board comes back and says it is our policy that every public school in the state of Missouri shall have early childhood education? Then who's going to pay for it?
Well, they can't enact a law. General Assembly still has a say in all of this. We're talking about a board, their function, and recognizing that we do have early childhood, which I personally believe in very strongly in our state.
That's
an honest disagreement, but my only point for rising is to point out that I think you are taking this to an extreme that just doesn't exist. I don't see the point of the amendment.
Senator, there are things that are good things. There are things that the government should mandate. There are things that the government should prevent. But when it comes to early childhood education, while it may be a good thing and it may be a noble thing, it is not a thing that should be in the Constitution of the state of Missouri.
That is a valid argument to have. All I'm saying is that the language that's in there doesn't do what you're concerned it's going to do.
So we have
to be realistic. You're a lawyer. The plain language means something, and there's nothing in the plain language of that text that requires anybody to send their kid to preschool, nor does it require a school to create a preschool.
Well,
so it's
Senator,
sort of
under your argument, I think the provision of our Constitution that says 25% of the state monies of the state of Missouri must be spent on education then could logically be said to be a support of tuition tax credits. It doesn't mean that. However, it could. I'd file a lawsuit over that. It appears to me, Senator, that where you and I can agree, because I can tell you, I can't support this thing at all if it puts early childhood education Constitution.
That's your right. All I'm saying is it doesn't do anything like that.
Well, then take it out.
Well, no, I don't think recognize it. But I don't think it does. It acknowledges the fact that we have early childhood education, but it certainly doesn't require anything more than that.
Well, then I would say that we need to put in the Constitution the right of a parent to have the state of Missouri pay for public, private, Christian, parochial, you name it.
Well, you can file that next year and let's debate it. I'm just saying in this context, I just don't see the point of your amendment.
Senator, up to this point, our educational policy has extended the hand of government from public K through doctoral degrees. Okay. Now for the first time, we're going to have this board really involved in elementary and secondary education. Okay, now we want to take it all the way down to preschool. At what point does early childhood education begin? I would contend that it begins at the moment of birth. I don't want the Department of Education coming in to see my children at the point of birth.
The comment, I mean this jokingly, but the helicopters on this one, I just don't.
Then you and I can agree to take it out.
I don't see it.
Just take it out.
Thank you for the inquiry.
Thank you.
Further discussion. Senator from the 7th, for what purpose do you rise?
May I inquire of the senator from Clay?
Does the senator from Clay yield?
Mr. President, I have a request from another senator if we could stand at ease again.
Senate's back in session. Senator from the 7th has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President. I wanted to inquire of the senator from Clay.
Senator from Clay, do you yield for the senator from the 7th?
I do.
She yields, Senator. You may proceed.
Thank you.
Hi, Senator.
Let me wait a minute.
I'm done.
Okay. I was going to inquire of you on some things, but it sounds like there have been some discussion, and maybe my inquiry won't even be needed now. Can you fill me in on sort of where we are?
What I'm going to do is withdraw my substitute amendment, offer a new substitute amendment after consultation with the senator from Buchanan and the senator from Stoddard, and I'll tell you what it does, so to save you an inquiry later, because I know you're very interested in education, and it may also head off a problem if this doesn't work for some reason, because you know a whole lot more about this than I do. What my new substitute amendment will do is on the front page of it, it will say the supervision and instruction of the public schools and public education in the state shall be vested in a state board of education. That's what it will say.
Okay? So what happens to Section 4 of the...
Then in Section 4, it will still leave the 10% of the funds in there. So the Section 4 will read, the board shall retain from funds appropriated to the institutions of higher education 10% to be distributed to public higher education institutions by the board to promote the development of a seamless and efficient system of education, period. It will cut out the age spectrum. It won't talk about early childhood. It won't talk about post-secondary. It won't talk about anything else, community colleges, any of the other.
Okay, tell me the words, though, that you're using.
About the 10%?
Yeah, it goes to what?
Do you have the senator from Buchanan's actual SJR?
I do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. On page 3, mm-hmm. line 13,
uh-huh.
line 13, 14, 15, and 16 will all be in where it says system of education at the end of line 16. There will be a period, and the next two lines are out.
Okay, let me read it then. So it'll just... Did I lose? The board shall retain from funds appropriated to the institutions of higher education 10% to be distributed to public higher education institutions by the board to promote the development of a seamless and efficient system of education.
Period.
Yeah, that's probably good, because had we put it in the other way, since the state of Missouri does not mandate early childhood,
right.
Any kind of early childhood education, we only mandate, actually, first, we don't even mandate kindergarten.
Correct.
So first through 12th, then we would have been put 10% towards something that is not even part of our services.
And a lot of schools are already strapped for funds, and they can't afford to expand any other services. And my concern is, once we start mentioning things in statute or in constitution, that it could be claimed that a school is under a duty to provide that for a child. And they just can't afford it at this point. Some can, and I'm glad for them, but some can't.
Now this is still the 10% distributed for that purpose. That sounds like a whole lot of money just for the seamless development or delivery of education. I mean, I'm still a little bit concerned with dictating in the Constitution what percentage of money is going towards this one thing, because if we're limited in money, we may need it for something else that's...
Senator, what I would suggest that you do with regard to the 10%, I know the senator from Buchanan had said that he needed the ability to have that in there for a purpose that he wanted as a hammer over the schools to make sure that they did something, but you may need to inquire
of him. Okay, I'll do that. Thank you, Senator. Mr. President?
Senator from the 7th.
Thank you. I'd like to inquire of the senator from Buchanan, please.
Senator from Buchanan, do you yield?
I yield.
I yield, Senator. You may proceed.
Thank you. It sounds like you could answer my question on
the definition
of the money.
Maybe it helped you to understand the intent of why when in the version we talked about yesterday, I gave the board the entire budget authority over the institutions of higher education.
Okay.
Now, that sent shockwaves out to...
It did.
...to them, because all these colleges, they want their own line item in the budget.
Okay.
And so I went back and revised that, and I said, okay, everybody can still have their own line item in the budget. They have to go through the board. They go to the governor and say, this is what the request is, and then we appropriate by that. But then we hold back 10% for the department, to which gives them the ability to, it's 10% doesn't go to the department, it goes back to institutions, but they hold back 10% and say, that's what you have to do to work and play well with others in the education system that we have. So it's kind of the hammer over the institutions. Right now we have a 1% penalty that we give the coordinating board. It's not very much. This essentially takes the 1% and puts it at 10%.
How much money are we talking about?
I don't know what the entire budget for the higher education without the UM system, I don't know what that would be. Now, it is not money that, it is money that goes back to those institutions. They can't redistribute it, but it does give them the authority to have a hammer over them to say, you got to do things and work well with others.
Kind of sounds like a heavy hammer.
Well, we have 1% right now, but if you're ever going to have this coordinated system of higher education out there, you're going to have to give some sort of authority to a state board. Because right now you got all these little institutions that have a whole bunch of stuff. Now, if you want to change it to 5, you know, I think that's okay. 10's better, but if you think 10's too much, I mean, you know, you can offer an amendment to...
10 is a lot, but I guess my main problem is the concept of it. I mean, I'm not a purist on local control by any means, but I do believe that when we appropriate the money, and especially when we have such scarcity of that money, to designate, okay, this chunk of it you will spend on this. I guess what it says to me that you foresee problems of people working across these transitions.
They don't do it now. I mean, that is the problem. I mean, the problem is. I mean, I don't want to throw all higher ed under the bus, but I mean, they tend to be pretty much focused on their own institution.
They do, and I do.
And they don't work well with each other. And we've had to go back and mandate that before.
Give me an example of that, because I'm.
Until we mandated that all the freshman classes could be transferred. They did, you know, oftentimes they wouldn't have articulation agreements with each other.
Between the colleges.
They don't work well with K through 12, particularly good. And they don't work particularly well with the people on the other end of the spectrum, which are the economic development types. This just says that this board, which will have control of education, has this built in, this incentive to ask them to do the right thing.
Okay.
Right now, we give them 1% authority. That's in statute, and this would give them more than one. I put 10. Some might argue that's pretty heavy-handed, but
heavy.
I think there has to be some incentive.
I'm not picking up the problems that you're seeing, but between the institutions, that doesn't mean there can't be more cooperation and communication.
You know, I would.
I mean, we could just say you will. And report back to us, rather than...
Well, right now the
you're going to spend 10% of it.
Right now, the Coordinating Board of Higher Education, they basically can say, you will. And all the colleges and universities can say, make me.
Well, then we could go through appropriations and say, you didn't do what we told you to do, so therefore we're going to reduce you by $1 million this year.
But we're not the Coordinating Board of Education, Higher Education.
We're the appropriator.
Yeah. I think you need to get, if you really want to get at this system and try to get this system to all work together, you have to have this governing body have some authority over these institutions. Okay. Every college president will hate this, I can assure you.
I can imagine.
Yeah, because everybody has their own empire at every regional university in the state. It's their own deal, okay? And nobody wants to give up any power, and that's why we have so many of these institutions out there and why it's almost impossible for them to learn to work together.
All right. Thank you for explaining that to me. Mr. President,
Senator from the 7th.
Thank you. Could I inquire of the senator from the 1st, please?
Senator from the 1st, you yield to the senator from the 7th.
I do, Mr. President.
Yield,
thank
senator.
You
may proceed.
Could you tell me why that you're yielding to me?
Well, actually, I wanted you to tell me what you think about this process. Did you? Were you on the work group
no.
for education?
Oh, you mean
on that work day we had?
Oh no, I wasn't. I was on retirement.
That's
I was odd. Not on education.
That's odd.
You know
a lot about education.
I do know a whole lot about education.
It's kind of been your forte since you've been in the legislature.
It has, and before, because that came up through being on a local school board. So yes, it has been my forte, and my interest and my passion.
My passion has been making government work right, you know, and you know, this concept of rebooting and retooling state government, I think is a very good idea, and I applaud the senator from Buchanan. But when we do it, it seems to me that we shouldn't be doing it just for the sake of doing it. I mean, I think that we should do it right. And I guess what I would ask you is, in looking at what's going on with this piece of legislation, what's the plan?
This particular piece of legislation?
What's the plan in this legislation as far as how we are going to make education more accountable and work better for the taxpayers and for the students that avail themselves of the product?
I'm probably not seeing that in here. I mean, I'd have to go through everything, but I'm not.
Members, guests are reminded that there is no photography in the Senate while we're in session. Sorry, senators, proceed.
Okay. Thank you.
Senator, do you...
I'm not finding that value, if you will, in it, since we've talked about that before. It's more of a... logistics type thing and a mechanism type thing and a structure type thing. I'm not seeing kids in it, which I'll, as you know, is my highest priority.
My thought is that it should be very, very, very difficult to change things in this building, to pass laws, to make changes to the system. You remember the prompt pay bill that I had earlier this year?
Yes, I do. Yes, you worked very hard on that. It took a while. Yes.
I mean, people were working on it before I got in the legislature. Matter of fact, they started working on that bill right after they passed it and put it into statute, and they found out there were some problems with it that needed to be tweaked. It took 10 years after it passed for that bill to pass this year.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I believe that we have to take a serious look at the role of government, the functions of government at every level. But we shouldn't be passing legislation just for the sake of saying that we did something.
Well,
I want to know what the plan is. I want to know how we're going to make education and the system work better for the students, for the parents, and for the taxpayers that are paying for it. And I hear some discussion going on, and I think this discussion is very fruitful.
It is.
It is.
But I also hear people that are experts in education saying that they're not necessarily sure this is, you know, the right fix.
Well, the thing is, it's a huge project that we're looking at right here. And usually it does take longer to come together with what's the best plan, especially when we're putting it in the Constitution.
That's a good point. This isn't a statutory change.
This is
actually a constitutional change.
It's a constitutional change, and it is huge. I mean, I'm trying to get my arms wrapped around it, and I've been doing education for 13 years. We're really making some sausage here.
I mean, and I've never, well, I did serve on education in the House my first year in the House. I ended up getting off because it was so frustrating, you know, because we didn't really ever seem to do anything. But it just seems to me that we've made a commitment to take, from the governor's office on down, to work together to make systemic changes. I mean, when I heard that we were talking about making systemic changes to state government, you know, I was pretty excited about that.
It's an opportunity.
That's what I've been waiting for, that we could make government better.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But I don't want to be making changes and not have a plan for, you know, how we're going to make it better. And again, you know, maybe it's not my place to say, maybe I should be turning to my colleagues like yourself who are experts, you know, in education to say, have we sat down, have we got everybody around the table, you know, to really think out what's the plan on how we're going to make this better. Maybe the senator from Buchanan has just taken the first step here. But I also hear from people that are involved in the process that we don't want to take that first step and then block ourselves out of making the necessary changes that we want to make as we look at this thing towards the, you know, as we move forward. Well, I guess I'm asking you, Senator, I mean, is this the answer?
Well, I think, number one, I'd make the point that what we're doing is huge. Number two, it's almost written in stone. Number three, I think that it takes some time to put something like this together in a really good way and really thought out. And while I appreciate we're moving in that direction, it almost seems like instead of hammering it out right here, and this is part of the process, that maybe we needed to pull everybody together who really knows this system and say, let's try to come together with an agreed upon plan that we can all present together. This is a hard way to make huge systemic change. And while I appreciate the opportunity to make systemic change, because then we can right-size government, and we can also create government into what we believe it should be. This is quite an opportunity for this body. But to do that, we need to take it so seriously that when we are biting off something this big, that we chew it up a little bit better and make sure we've got what we want. I'm having a hard time getting my arms around this and not seeing a lot of problems in it.
It seems to me what this is doing is it's taking a couple of dysfunctional boards and just replacing them with another board.
I wouldn't use the word dysfunctional, obviously.
Well, that's me.
I know
guess,
a lot about,
you know,
the board.
I think everybody's dysfunctional except myself.
Well, one of the things I wanted to do was keep what's good about the boards and give us some uniformity and some experience.
I'm just trying to make some more enemies.
Well, you're
sorry.
Good at that.
Yeah.
but if we do all new, then it's totally up in the air. It's just like throwing the whole thing up and say, let's see where it lands. And I think, and that's what we've got right now. And obviously I disagree with that because I put an amendment in earlier to try to give us some continuity and experience. But we're not going to have that, and we have no clue where this is going to land right now. So I think it is problematic, yes.
Thank you for inquiring of me, Senator.
You are welcome, and thank you, Mr. President.
We're on the motion from the Senator from Clay. Senator from Buchanan.
Can I inquire of the Senator from the First?
Senator from the First, do you yield?
I do.
You yield, Senator. You may proceed.
Thank you. Senator, I just heard your comments, and I just wanted to do a... You mentioned creating a better system for the students in the state of Missouri. I just want to assure you that that is exactly what the intent is behind this, of trying to bring these two, and I think you use the word dysfunctional. I wouldn't argue that they're two dysfunctional boards, but I would argue that they are purposed with, one has to look at K through 12 education, one has to look at higher education, and they don't necessarily work particularly well together.
Their missions aren't working together.
And now they have, in their defense, I mean, for the first time, I think they started last year, they actually have meetings together now and work on that. But my intent is to bring this thing together into one board where you can work so that, you know, one says my responsibility doesn't end when somebody graduates high school, that I have responsibility when they go past that as well. So that's kind of what we're trying to do here, and that's the intent. And I just wanted to assure you that your comments were exactly where we're trying to go with this thing. Now, the senator from Clay has, she has an amendment pending, which I think she was going to withdraw and reoffer, but I don't know if that's what, I think she's shaking her head yes. And I think, and what that will do is take, she had concerns about putting the words early childhood in the Constitution. We take that out of the with her amendment. And I don't know if that satisfies, you know, some of your concerns or.
Well, I appreciate your inquiry, Senator. I guess my question to you would be, would you characterize this as a first step in a process of retooling or reshaping how we do education in the state? And would our input as a body in there? I don't think we should micromanage as a body the Department of Education. Don't get me wrong. But I guess, I'm interested if we're going to change something, you know, and we get one shot at it. I just want to make sure that we've thought through it and that we've had, you know, the proper discussion in how can we best affect that and then allow that board that you're creating then to do their work on behalf of the people.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. I mean, and that's really, you know, why. I mean, this thing has gone through several iterations. That's why I brought it out yesterday, listened to concerns that were on this floor and brought them back. You know, that's why we, you know, we're addressing the makeup of the board. We changed that, you know, make sure that, you know, people said we don't want to give them the entire budgetary authority over higher ed. We changed that. I give them 10% budget authority. You know, that may be, somebody may want to change that. But all that was trying to take into account, you know, how do you make this thing work? And you know, once you design this, because ultimately what you want is this education system that works well together. I mean, you want, you know, from the very beginning to ultimately, you know, when a student graduates from you know, post-secondary education, that we have served them well, we've done it very efficiently, and they have the ability to compete in that global marketplace. That's where we're ultimately headed. So,
all right. Thank you, Senator. Thank you for your work.
We're on the motion of the senator from Clay. Does any other senator wish to speak on that motion? Senator from
Monroe. I acquire the senator from 34.
From the 24th?
34.
34th. Senator from Buchanan, do you yield?
I yield.
He yields, Senator.
Hey, Senator. I just wanted to, I think I was in my office and we were listening and you said that our universities don't work well with economic development or what? I don't know what you said. There was something along those lines that they're not cooperating the way they should with other entities.
You know, I don't want to be strong and say they don't work well, but they could work a lot better.
What?
They could work a lot better.
Well, I just, you know, and I...
That's why we created the... Three or four years ago, the P20 Council to get these people starting to talk to each other.
Well, I just jotted down a list of things that I'm pretty proud of the university that I get to represent. And I just want to kind of go through a list so we understand that our universities do a lot and they do a great job. And obviously, I represent Truman, so I'm gonna read you a list of some of the things that I think are pretty important in the community and with other state agencies that they do. Truman is a partner with the city of Kirksville. the Kirksville R3 School District and the University of Missouri providing a telecommunications resource center. It's called the TCRC for citizens, for anyone in Northeast Missouri. So we provide that service for all the folks. Truman hosts a Missouri Rural Enterprise and Innovation Center on the Truman campus that assists our small businesses and in Northeast and Central Missouri. Truman campus The SBC is operated in conjunction with the University of Missouri Extension Service. So they work with the University of Missouri, with the University Extension. They do the resources for all these small businesses. Truman also provides office space for the Department of Natural Resources where they can conduct, so they can conduct joint research if necessary and work with them. Truman uses faculty from the Kirksville College of Osteopathic Medicine to mentor selective students in what's called the Raman Air Program. So Truman works with other colleges' campuses to help prepare the next generation of osteopaths and get that stream going right. Truman, they talk about being able to go start preschool and end up being a doctor and never leave town. They're pretty proud of that in Kirksville. Truman has developed a program with the University of Missouri Columbia for summer research experiences for Truman students in the life of the life sciences. So Truman is actively involved in that. Truman is also a member of Missouri Consortium for International Programs and Studies that sponsors the Missouri, London, Missouri, Ghana, and which Truman is an active participant. These are just some of the things. Truman offers an advanced placement training for faculty and high school teachers who live in Missouri north of I-70, special AP training programs that are also conducted in Kansas City and Kirksville. Truman supports Kirksville campus and the MAC, Mobile Area Community College. They allow those students of MACC to use their libraries. So they're working, they're showing that they can work well. Truman houses and supports, in coordination with the Missouri Department of Elementary and Secondary Education and Northeast Regional Professional Development Center. And these regional professional development centers are really important. That is how many of our smaller schools use that expertise that they may not be able to afford themselves. So it's something that shows cooperation between many entities. Truman, in conjunction with the University of Missouri Columbia, funds and operates a rebroadcasting tower. So we have so we can do some public radio out of KKTR out of Kirksville. And so I just want to make, you know, that our universities, and I'm sure this is indicative of every other university.
But that's, yeah, and frankly, I mean, I appreciate that, but that's just not what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, I didn't know. And you may not have been, because sometimes when you're sitting there listening, you hear one thing, and you may have been totally saying something else. And
yeah,
if that's the case,
what I'm talking about, and you know I'm a long-range planning kind of guy.
Right.
Okay. What I'm talking about is that at some point that, you know, the Department of Economic Development, instead of thinking about how do I get the next plant here in the next 6 months, which that's all important work and everything like that, I mean, they ought to be thinking about what the economy in Missouri should look like 10 years from now, okay? And if it's we want to be advanced technology in aerospace or whatever, that's where Missouri's greatest opportunity is. And then once we do that, we ought to be able to work with higher ed and say, you know, if 10 years from now we believe this is where Missouri's moving, these are the kind of graduates that we need out of Missouri's education system.
Right.
And that happens, that needs to go all the way through the education system. Okay, and that's what I'm not casting blame on anybody right now, but that's the kind of thinking we need to get to as a state. You know, we need to not think about where Missouri's at in the next 6 months. We need to think about where Missouri is at in the next 10 years and how do you get higher ed and EcoDevo and K-12 to all think about those things so that you can get there. It's not that they don't do everything you talk about. I mean, almost every university has an impact on economic development in their local areas, and they do all that.
Huge.
I want them to do that. I just want them to think further down the road.
Well, and I think you reminded me of something we had an opportunity for last year, in a floor substitute, though it did get taken out. Truman, we had a business that wanted to move its operations from California. It was a business that would be DNA testing. And we had a unique, what would have been the most unique private-public partnership to help end the backlog of cases, because we have a lot of people that actually, one of the reasons it's important, because sometimes things get held in evidence, and DNA testing needs to happen before that evidence can be returned. And we had a company that wanted to come to Missouri to start that process of employing people in Kirksville, creating a DNA testing lab. And actually what happened was Truman was thinking far enough ahead that there was already a curriculum that we were developing, that Kirksville or Truman was developing to start the process before the business came to get these young people back in that community. So I think whether you create a new board or not, my point is, and as you've said, they've been doing a lot of this, and I'm not sure what a seven-member or a nine-member or five-member board that's governing from a centralized location will have the same emphasis on that local flavor of knowing that this would be good for our community. This would be good if we have students here. We're going to train them here. We're going to keep them in jobs here. And I don't think that board, I don't know what that board would do to help that process. I guess that's my point. Do you think they'll have a dramatic impact on that?
Yeah, what I would argue is that, and I don't know if you heard me say it yesterday, but if you were going to design a system of education in the state of Missouri, it would not look like what we have right now. We would not have, you know, all this separate autonomous higher ed institutions out there. We wouldn't have all this K-12 system that doesn't work with those folks, and we wouldn't have duplication of efforts, and mostly we would demand better outcomes than what we're getting right now. I mean, there's no, as I described, I don't know if you ever heard me say it, but Missouri is, in the 50 states, in the terms of how many of our folks have a bachelor's degree by the time they're 25, we're 30th. There is no reason we should be 30th.
Well, we're 50th in what we pay our state employees. We're about 49th and 48th and a whole lot of other things. 30th is pretty good for Missouri.
But there's no reason we should be 30th and one of the last states in the Midwest.
Okay? I agree. So we can always do better.
We can do better.
But I think if you'd look around, the number of admissions is going up. We're still admitting more, so we're being successful in the number of admissions. The graduation rate, well, Truman anyway, I can speak to those numbers. Those graduation rates are way up.
That's not universal.
Well, it may not be. Yeah. But and guess what? They did it without a new board.
Yeah. And what I believe is in higher education there should be, you know, it's interesting, and I'm not trying to.
No, I know.
Truman, of all the institutions that have been involved in this discussion, almost everybody believes that there should be some level of coordination, okay? With the exception, Truman has almost come out and said, you know, hey, leave us alone. If you want to carve Truman out of this deal, if you can figure out how to do that, knock yourself out.
I think that probably would, you know, you can offer that and you, if... You know, if you are successful, you've carved them out, and there may be resentment. And I don't think it would be good for the morale of all the universities in the state.
Yeah.
And if you weren't successful, you don't want to not be successful when you do that, because then that creates ill will also. So I think it makes much more sense to make sure that we try to find the best way to get to where you're going. Because I know if your goal is not 30th, I presume your goal is 15.
Top 10.
That's good. I like that goal. Senator, I guess what I, you know, I'm, in my inquiry that really I you may have been saying one thing and I may have been hearing one thing, and I wanted to make clear that, you know, our universities can and do, and especially the one that I have information about, works very well across governmental entities with other departments, and bring a huge economic impact to the community that they're in. And with that, I appreciate your answer. I appreciate your hard work on this, and look forward to working on it.
We'll get there. Mr. President.
Senator from Buchanan.
Would you place that bill on the informal calendar, and we will continue to work on this tomorrow.
It will be placed on the informal calendar with amendments pending. Senator from St. Francis. Senator from Buchanan, do you yield? He yields. Senator, good to see you.
Senator, we've appreciate your yield. We've spent some time on this thing. I know we've got short time, and I know this is a major change, but I know the senator from Boone and the senators who spoke on the floor, I'd use this as an opportunity to try to get together if you can, if they're listening, their staffs are listening, because they've got some concerns, but I think we can get them worked out. If we're going to do this, we got to get it to GAFO in the next few days, or just pull the plug. But I think you've made some strides. If they will actually honestly work with you to try to leave some of those, I think we can make some progress and get this done tomorrow.
Well,
and that would be my intent, if you can get it done. If you can't, then we've got to figure out if it can be doable. But if we're truly going to change government the way you're talking about and these reforms, I think this is one of the areas that we need to do it, but we need to make sure that the parties are comfortable with the language and things. And so if you've got some time this afternoon, we're going to committees here in just a couple minutes.
I'm available all afternoon, and I would anticipate we'll have some folks come want to talk about this, and we'll figure out where the push points are and the pressure points.
Well, that's what I've got. That's why I'm inquiring right now, because these people are coming to me and say, I got this concern. I want them to get with you. The senator here has got an education committee meeting.
Who?
Right
Who?
Now.
Who?
I said the senator here. I didn't name his name. The one that shall remain nameless. The chairman of that committee, I think, has got a committee meeting here. So maybe some of them may be on that committee, and they're already 15, 20 minutes behind. But I'm sure that you would make yourself available to those people that have concerns and try to get this worked out, because I'd like to go back to this first thing in the morning.
That sounds like a plan to me.
Okay, thank you.